Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And I have with me today our guest, who is Orchidia Tamayo Mua Tensa. And I'm actually most impressed because Orchidia's pioneering a lot of work in the psychological well-being field of aging. And I've invited her today onto the program because my topic for today is thinking positively. It's the focus of a new book that's out from one of the experts in gerontology in the world. It's the book Joy Span by Dr. Kerry Burnknight. And Dr. Kerry hails from California, and she's been lecturing in gerontology for the past 20 years there. And her study has been about looking at how can we build on the psychological well-being models that are out there that have come from the giants of the 19th century. The people like Carl Jung and Viktor Frankl and Abraham Maslow, people that some of us studied at university years ago, but they laid the groundwork, the foundation for what makes for healthy, happy human beings. And over the aging process, as people are living longer, there are more challenges to people as they have to grapple with not only change itself, but transitions into different types of living, different arrangements of living, and transitions into working in a human body that's getting replacements regularly, that's needing replacements, whether it's eyes, ears, knees, hips, whatever. And it requires a certain amount of adaptation, a certain amount of self-acceptance. And so all of this has been built into the concept of joy span that Dr. Kerry's promoting. And today, as we talk about this, in her field, she began really her whole work and career in gerontology through coming to grips with and colliding with instances of elder abuse. So I thought that was a good starting place for us. And I want to ask you, Orchidia, in terms of isolation and vulnerability in people that you have met in your field, how do you see the conditions evolving towards this happening, and also prevention?
Definitely. Kia ora, Anne-Marie, and thank you so much for the invitation today.
Kia ora.
Look, I think we have to talk about, number one, how can we prevent elder abuse, particularly in the community? And it takes a mix of awareness, but at the same time, compassion and action. And I'm not talking about just protecting individuals. I'm talking about building a culture that values and safeguards older people. When I'm thinking about prevention, I always consider community involvement. How do we encourage neighbors and friends and family FANO and local organizations like yours to stay connected with older adults? How can we continue to promote that intergenerational approach so that we can continue to foster respect and understanding among the different generations? I'm thinking about, and this is something that I am very passionate about, it, education and training. And it's not only about people working in healthcare already, but it's about education that can be accessible and easy to grasp for family, FANO, community members, caregivers. How can we talk to, for example, local schools, university, or even workplace programs to have elder abuse awareness, how can we support each other to have those reporting mechanisms where we identify something and we do have the ability to confidentially report any kind of suspected abuse? How can we also be aware about the many cases that are going underreported because people might feel shame or fear, or they might be dependent on the people that is abusing them? How we together have the ability to create safe spaces for all the adults to speak up, which is crucial in these days. But look, at the same time, I think recognizing warning signs, because not everyone probably will have the ability to recognize those signs. And if we have the ability to recognize the warning signs, like, you know, physical unexplained bruises or emotional withdrawal or financial missing belongings, then we have the ability to also help to prevent isolation and vulnerability. And when we are talking about isolation and being vulnerable, particularly around older adults, it's about creating a society where, to me, connection, dignity, upholding mana, identity, and support, we are building that into everyday life. For example, what are some of the things that I consider as recreational gerontologist, which is what I basically do, is strengthening social connections. Okay, so we might have a community program, but are we actually encouraging participation to those community programs in the local clubs, hobby groups, volunteering, these sort of programs that are actually going to be fostering purpose and companionship, or initiatives that are not only taking place within a retirement village, but also are taking place in the community where we are linking older adults with younger people through mentoring, storytelling, sharing activities, because this also helps to build that mutual respect and reduce age-based stereotypes. How about, I mean, we are all familiar with organizations like Age Concern. However, what about creating different services, phone calls, visits, training volunteers to reduce loneliness? Another point, Anne-Marie, that I believe is super important is accessibility and mobility. Are we providing transport solutions or transport that is actually reliable and affordable for all the people to remain connected and active? Digital inclusion, like today we are making this possible because we can make this call, but a lot of people might need some support with IT, with building digital skills. And I'm also thinking about mental health services. How can we provide access that is affordable and that is just near to people that need it the most, or that might need it once, or that might need it only sometimes, but that is there like counseling or peer support groups? Because when we talk about loneliness and we talk about social isolation, it's massive. I don't know if you are aware, but currently the World Health Organization has even launched a global initiative which is called the Commission on Social Connection. And they have done this because they acknowledge that this is a serious threat to the well-being of humanity. It's a public health concern. It's not just a personal issue any longer. So taking all these things into consideration, instead of focusing on just saving people at the end of the cliff, like the ambulance, we are going to be maximizing that psychological well-being and the well-being of our communities.
Thank you for putting up a strategic platform here and speaking broadly on this topic, because it's so important. And we do hear messages about elder abuse and so on, and especially once a year when we look at the prevention on World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. But it really, we're looking at a big culture shift, a big change, and it's a question about how we deliver services, how we break down the silos. We were keeping people in old age all by themselves away from other people in society. So all of the breakdown of getting into the more of a community response, more of a voluntary response, more young people involved and so on, all of this is part of the culture change and the big shift that's very necessary if we're going to address this issue longer term, as we've got increasing age numbers of aging people and we've got pressure on what workforce we've got. So because we're living longer than ever, it seems to be more important that we enjoy it, that we have quality of life. And that's what I want to talk about next is what are the concepts that underpin a positive sense of well-being as you age? Because there are some people who are quite blithely happy to say, oh, age is just a number. I'm not aging. I'm not even thinking about aging.
Yeah.
You know? And so turning a blind eye and putting the wool over their eyes and thinking that you can avoid all of this. Well, actually, there's lots of things you won't be able to avoid. And you won't have control. I mean, maybe inside your own dwelling, but outside your front gate, you're involved in the world of urban planning that's part of your council, and that's why you need to stay in touch with what's going on, why you need to be informed as a voter and use your vote wisely and so on. So what I'm wanting to introduce here is the five ways to well-being, because the five ways to well-being, which is widely promoted in New Zealand, and we have done programs on it in the past, these ways suggest that you listen, that you tune in and connect with others, that you give and volunteer, that you are active, that you find ways to move, and so on. These are all quite sound things that contribute to a positive aging.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And look, when I think, in my experience, in my practice, in my personal and professional practice, about the five ways to well-being, We are not only talking about, connect, building relationships, being active, for example, moving your body or take notice. How can we be present? For example, someone might like mindfulness or keep learning. How do we try something new or giving, like giving your time, attention, or helping to strengthen social bonds? I'm thinking about as we grow older, and being mindful that everyone will have their own concept of aging. And look, I'm just recalling a story of a CEO that I used to work with in the past, and he was close to his 80s. And I remember he said to me, oh my goodness, in my mind, I can do whatever I want until I try to lift something heavy. And then I realized that I need to take it slow. And that has to do with our brains, right? In our mind, we are always going to be able to do a lot of things. And when I think about maximizing well-being, and particularly that psychological well-being as we're aging, number one, I believe it has to do with empowering our autonomy. How can we allow ourselves or enable people or support people to choose? If I think about leisure and recreation, meaningful activities that will reflect their identity and the preferences, opposite to someone telling them, hey, you should go to the yoga class or the Zumba class. I'm thinking about fostering connection. Some of the most important connections are actually those ones that we have with or final. And I'm not talking about you know, my funnel through my DNA. I'm talking about the funnel that I have chosen. People that are significant in my life, friends, community. I'm also thinking about the environment, but the environment that we create. And I have been in places where I have traveled that they might not have the best architectural design, but they do have an environment that is 100% inclusive and where people use respectful language. And that is actually designing for dignity, particularly for the older person. When I think about my practice, in therapeutic recreation, I think about purpose, belonging, meaning. How can we support older people in the community to actually engage in leisure that stimulates joy and growth? Not just something that is going to be keeping you busy or keeping you occupied or killing the time. That's not what life is about. A life worth living is about meaning. It's about purpose. It's about belonging. These days, cognitive health is super important. How can we continue to stimulate our brains in a way that helps us to sustain and to maintain our cognition in the best possible way that we can? And I'm also talking about nutritional wellness. You know, many years ago, and I'm talking to you about 20, 30, 40 years ago, how we used to have seasonal eating and how we were able to not have all this kind of fast food that we access these days. But how can we go back to align well-being initiatives with previous natural rhythms and healthy eating? For example, the season strawberries or kiwi fruit, opposite to just consuming for the sake of consuming food, which at the same time, it might not enhance that nutritional wellness. And the most important one is, how can we continue to celebrate these small moments? How do we grow older? And what I have witnessed is we tend to focus on the one thing that has gone wrong, opposite to the 100 things that have gone right. For example, recognizing the emotional power of everyday interaction. What is something great that I think I have done today? Well, the cat next door actually just popped his head in my door, and that was pretty funny. So actually, that was, for me, a meaningful interaction today. That made me smile. So, to your point about this legacy of joy span, I believe that every person, regardless of age and ability, when we are experiencing meaningful connection, when we have emotional vitality, when we have the opportunity for personal growth, we have the ability to live with purpose, dignity, joy, and we create an environment that truly honors those life stories of every person. And then we celebrate strength and we foster belonging.
Ah, that is the most fabulous description, I think, of what Joy Span is all about. And it says it, you say it much better, I think, than what I've read about it. Now, and in particular, I thought about just your story about the cat popping his head around the corner, and I'd describe that as a golden moment. Yeah. And in fact, if you add up just a few golden moments every day, you find that joy is bubbling in your life. And it's natural, and it's kind of like something that you attract and you enhance by your attitude. So if you have an attitude of looking out for golden moments, you will notice these things. You will notice the cat put his head around the
corner.
But if you've got your head in your lap and you're bemoaning to yourself about how it's not good these days because. If you're locked into that kind of circular thinking about how bad everything's getting, you won't even notice that cat put its head round the corner. So it is about innermost attitude of appreciating golden moments, looking for them, and being aware. So in your awareness, being alive to what golden moment is going to reveal itself just shortly. And it will be unexpected, and it will take you by surprise, but you will have that sense of joy.
Definitely.
And so this is what I think is something that everybody can cultivate, and role models, people who are out there trying to influence the world about how they could be aging or what they think's important in aging, these role models can be doing this for us. And I notice that actually that starts for people in their 50s. They suddenly notice that, I need to slow down a little bit. I need to take steps to be more in tune with myself. I need to balance my time, me time, against other things. And in that slowing down, they become receptive to these golden moments. So I read an article recently on one of the magazine shelves, and Wendy Petrie, who has been very well known in the world of television and broadcasting, she, on the front cover of the magazine, was talking about happy moments. And so I had a look and just quickly at what she was saying. And it was just this. She said she had learned just to take 5 minutes, sit in the sun, and just be thankful. Have some gratitude for the positive things that are going in her life. And she said that she'd heard people doing this and it had been very positive and that it made them feel happier and so on. But she'd never tried it as an experiment. But now she was trying it. And she said she was amazed at how much lighter she was, how much more she could face her day. And if someone 55 can get that kind of impact and notice the impact, there's nothing stopping somebody 70 practicing this, you know.
Yes, no, 100%. I agree with you, Anne-Marie. And look, it's a skill, right, that we develop throughout the years. And it's heavily influenced by personal experiences. And sometimes we might need some help getting back on track into that, because part of our brain, which is super interesting, is that we tend to focus on the negative things more frequently than the positive things. And getting back into the habit, if you used to have it, or developing the skill of looking at these golden moments, how you call them, which are, I call them glimmers, which are moments of joy, have actually an amazing influence on the way that our brain gets to release happy hormones like serotonin and endorphins and oxytocin that actually enhances our well-being. Mm. So, yeah, sometimes we do require, or we might need someone to help us. Like you were saying, those champions or leaders or someone that can give us some advice or provide leadership or guidance, because it's not necessarily that we don't want to, it's just that sometimes we don't know how to.
Mm. Yeah, role models are very important, and people make it okay, they make it safe, because somebody might think, oh, this is silly, or, oh, I feel self-conscious sitting in the sun, somebody's going to come along and ask me what I'm doing, and I won't be able to answer them. You know, it's that sort of laugh at yourself moment, but secretly, we're so focused on our doing, we forget to acknowledge being is
true.
So important, and we need to have balance. We need to be in our being, doing in our being internally, and being comfortable with that. And I think that's something that in the fast-paced, busy life that's everyone's to some extent caught up in, in the Western world, I think this is something we've lost, this acknowledging and respecting a state of being.
Yeah.
And, of course, a state of being, when we are comfortable, we're comfortable with our breath, we're comfortable pausing, we're comfortable with our mind not leading the pace but having a rest. In that space, there is growth of self-acceptance. We are more in tune with ourselves. We are more comfortable with ourselves. And if we do this often enough, then something that is not in tune with us will be less likely to be running our lives. So it's coming near the end of this program, and we've just touched on some of the things that are in the book Joy Span by Dr. Kerry Byrne Knight, and there are other publications and other exciting material out now, because gerontology is such a big field, a growing field, and it's exciting that it's based on scientific research and applying that in the community. So we'll have more to talk about in the future, and thank you for coming in on the program today. Orchidia, it's been wonderful to have your inspiration, your passion, and your experience, which is so broad. Thank you.
No, thank you, Anne-Marie. You have a fantastic day, and thank you, everyone.
Yes. Look forward to everyone being with us next week. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
104.